We're doing Semena Ya on Gemara Brachos. The Gemara tells us, we know that there's an obligation, you're supposed to read the Parsha, Shnai Mikra Vecha Targum, every week, right? Two times reading the Parsha, one time the Targum. The Gemara says, Rav Bevai Bar Abaye, Abaye's son, Rav Bevai, Savala Shleminu Le Parshiyatayu De Kula Shata B'Maliyom De Kippurim. He thought, instead of reading the Parsha every week, twice, and the Targum, he said, on the eve of Yom Kippur, I'll sit down for a number of hours, I'll do the whole Torah, I'll be covered. Tana Lechia Barav Nidifti, Sochia Barav from the city of Difti told him, K'tiv v'initem nafshotechem b'tisha l'chodesh b'erev. The Torah says, fast on the 9th. But Yom Kippur's on the 10th. What does that mean, fast on the 9th? It's telling you, on the 9th, make sure to eat and drink in preparation for the 10th of the Yom Kippur when you'll fast. And then Hashem says, I'll consider it as though you fasted on both. Okay, so that's the Gemara. Says Rav Kook, Zatzal. Why did he think to finish all his parshios on the eve of Yom Kippur? Because he thought to himself, on the eve of Yom Kippur, we finish everything we're missing. So, if I miss the reading of certain Torah portions, I'll fill that in on the eve of Yom Kippur. And he said, this will be a declaration that I should fix whatever I can throughout the year in the observance of Torah, mitzvos, and the ethics of the Torah. That was his thought, that I'll make up whatever I missed on the eve of Yom Kippur, because he figured that was a way of arousing himself to make sure that he makes up whatever he missed the rest of the year in other areas of Torah. So they told him, no, on the 9th you're supposed to eat and drink. Don't spend your time reading, making up what you missed. So Rav Kook says their answer to him breaks up to two components. He says, number one, sometimes we have to make up our good senses. Meaning, we have senses, we have emotions, we have feelings that are positive, but they're only positive when they're within the confines that are correct. Every positive emotion is only good within the amount that's correct. If you eat too much, you get a stomach ache. If you laugh too much, you can feel bad. If you drink too much, everything positive, happiness, productivity, everything that's positive has a certain amount that's healthy. And when you breach those fences, then you run into problems. So, on Yom Kippur, we take a step back. We're not joking around. We're not eating. We're not drinking. We're not with our wives. And on Yom Kippur, when we are not pursuing our joys and pleasures, so we can start looking at our life and think about, are we leading a life that's within the confines that are correct? If my life has proper values, then I will enjoy life the way I should, in a balanced, correct way. Yom Kippur gives me that opportunity. On Yom Kippur, I'm not busy with anything else. I could think about the balance I should have in life. The second point is our habit. We want to create positive habits. One of the greatest things we can do for ourselves in life is to create positive habits. Now, this plays itself out in many ways. There are people that are in the habit that at night they don't eat. Doctors say it's good not to eat at night. I also always did the opposite. But then I heard this a few weeks ago. My doctor told me, 3 hours before you go to sleep, you should only drink water, don't eat anything else. She says it's it affects many, many parts of your health. She said it affects how you react to allergies, it affects your digestive system, it affects your weight, it affects your cholesterol. It seems that our bodies, I used to prefer to eat before I went to sleep because eating tires me out. Let me sleep it off. I once heard that sumo wrestlers gain their weight by eating before they go to sleep. Right. Ah, okay, so for you, it's probably great.
Saying it affects other areas of the
life. I don't know, ask your doctor. So there are habits that keep us in a positive direction. So we said there are two things. There's keeping what we're doing right because we're going to keep it balanced, and then there's our habits, to be in the habit of going the positive route. Are we in a habit of smiling at people? Are we in a habit of talking in a gentle way? Are we in a habit of listening before we speak? Are we in a habit of not interrupting? Are we in a habit of giving a positive response? Some people are always in the habit of saying, I'm just being devil's advocate. No, you're not. You're just being annoying. Or when people tell you, I'm not prying into your business. Yes, you are. By telling me you're not prying doesn't make it that you're not. People will sometimes tell you, I'm not being nosy. Yes, you are. If you have to tell me you're not being nosy, then you probably are being nosy. Habits. When we can create good habits that keep us in the path we want to be on, that we should be on, that's the second component we're going to talk about now. So, if we want to have this type of tshuva to build ourselves, so that can only happen when a person is going to deal with life in a balanced way. You tell a person as he's wolving down 15 donuts, you know, you should lead a balanced life. He goes, I agree. Give me one more donut and we'll talk about it. He's not there right now. He can't develop that way. When a person can create moments of equilibrium, out of those moments, he can develop greater equilibrium. People sometimes are frustrated with people who are depressed. Why can't you be happy? Because you're yelling at me. Be happy. Be calm. You're going to yell at me, I should be calm. But if you can catch moments where you're positive and happy and calm, then you can develop those moments. Says Rav Kook, you want to develop these two positive traits, the balanced approach, the good habits. That can only happen when you're leading life in a balanced way. You're enjoying life, but in the balanced way. You have a person who says, I'll live as a hermit. I'll dig myself a little cave, and over there I'll be a very holy person. He's not creating balance. He might be fixing parts of his personality, but he's not creating balance. When a person says, I will connect to life, I will be a part of life and lead it in a balanced way, then a person can create that balance and wholeness. And that's the completeness of tshuva. And that gives us more strength for the times that we'll do tshuva in seclusion. If my tshuva is only in seclusion, it's one type of tshuva. But if my tshuva is a tshuva that grasps the world and then is in seclusion, that's a totally different tshuva. And that's why before we enter Yom Kippur, that's a day that's all about seclusion. We're not being intimate with our wives. We're not sitting down for festive meals. We're not joking around. We are going to be focused on secluding ourselves and elevating ourselves. But before you can do that tshuva, you begin with the tshuva that's active. Sit down and eat the day before. Eat all day the day before, but eat the appropriate way the day before. Our sages say, you want to know what's a complete tshuva? People quote this from the Rambam, but it's actually a Gemara. The Gemara says, if a man transgressed with a girl, he knows he shouldn't have done it. How does he do tshuva for that? Well, he repents, he regrets, he accepts upon himself not to do it again. Does he ever have proof that he did it? The Gemara says if it happens, that he finds himself, he shouldn't put himself there, he should avoid temptation. But if it happens that he finds himself in the same place, the same season, it's the same budding flowers, the same energy, the same excitement, the same person, everything's exactly the same as it was the first time, and he says, I'm not doing this, then he knows his tshuva is complete. So we don't attempt to do that. A guy knows he fell on the internet, he should get a secure internet connection. He shouldn't leave it so that he could fall a second time. But if it happens, and that time he picks himself up and walks away and says, I'm not going to do this, then he knows he's evolved. He's advanced to a complete tshuva. And by the way, if we remember that, that could very often give us the koach to finish off the tshuva. Because what happens at that moment? A person tells him, I'll do it one more time. No, you won't. No, this time it's going to be a different ending. You know, when I was a kid, I assume they still have them. They had these books, Create Your Own Adventure. You'd read two pages, and then they'd say, you entered the cave, and you asked yourself, is this safe? Should I continue or not? If you choose to continue, turn to page 20, right? If you choose to walk back out of the cave, turn to page 5. So, you continue the story depending on your decisions. You create your own adventure in the story. So, we have the same thing when we revisit or when we find ourselves again with that challenge. We have to remember that we're creating our own adventure. We can create a different ending to the story. And that's why the tshuva of Yom Kippur is only complete when on Erev Yom Kippur you eat and you drink and you're part of the physical world, and yet your eating and drinking and physical world is in accordance with the Torah and mitzvos. If on other days you ate like a glutton, on Erev Yom Kippur you're supposed to eat the way you should. So then your eating is part of your tshuva. And that's what the Gemara means, that he who eats and drinks on the ninth, so then the Pasuk considers it like he fasted the 9th and the 10th, because he's made the Yom Kippur of the 10th of Tishrei a more complete tshuva, because his seclusion and thoughts on the 10th cannot reach the points they're supposed to reach, their essence, unless there's been an active tshuva the day before, which is taking the physical world in the balanced way, starting to develop the positive habits, as we said, creating a point of equilibrium from which I can strive to expand that equilibrium to the rest of my life. That was the point of Cook made. You want to get a person to develop something, get them started, and then continue that that moment which they've created. Which, by the way, is a tip for all of life. If you're in the middle of a fight with someone and you want to work things out, so sometimes we're guys. We sit down and say, Jeb, I'm upset at you because you did X. And Jeb says, yeah, well, I did X because you did Y. And then you could talk about, well, I didn't mean to upset you when I did Y. But I really think you were out of line doing X. And you could work it out sometimes. But then you meet your wife and it just doesn't work that way. So sometimes in relationships, you have to catch those good moments that begin and hold on to them and develop them.
Yeah, but during a bad moment.
What?
During a bad moment.
Sometimes you try to end the bad moment instead of continuing it. No, you did say that. No, you did say that. Don't tell me you didn't say it. You did. Right? This is what men will usually do. The wife says, I didn't say I'll deposit the 2,000 shekels so that our checks don't bounce. And you go, yeah, you did. You said you would. What do you mean you didn't? You did. Right? That's the male approach.
Sometimes we're right.
Right is not the only question in life. It's not only a question of right and wrong. Okay, so that's what we saw now in the